Talk of the Town, brought to you by Big Boy. Just get in line. It moves fast. Dakota Pharmacy and Dakota Natural Health Center. We're here to help you stay well. Trademark Realty, Peak Automotive and Service, and Silver Ranch. Welcome back to Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270.
You're tuned to Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270. Good morning, my friends. This is a Wattage Wednesday. I'm Steve Bach along with Jason Spees from the Crude Life. You can catch Crude Life Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. right here on Super Talk 1270. Also joining us in the program, Kenley Nebaker, Train ND Northwest. Kenley, how you doing, my friend?
Doing well. How are you, Steve?
I am good. It's finally warming up a little bit down here and in Bismarck and Mandan. So I'm looking forward to that. Some actual summer-like temperatures.
Get out on the river or something, huh?
Yeah. Well, actually, we had Town Square Media listener cruise last night and spent a little time on the riverboat last night for visiting with folks. So that was always a good time. So Train ND Northwest, you guys, you know, when you talk about workforce, you have to talk about Train ND. You guys fill so many niches, so many avenues. You know, one of the things that you had an opportunity to show me when I was up there, your workover rig, and you were bringing it back and kind of idled for a while. But you've got the full room to train oil field employees with that workover rig now.
Yeah, we're getting that program started back up. You know, back in 2012, 2014, maybe a little bit before, that program was very, very popular and was really booming. And then it kind of went away for a little bit. And when I came into my position 5 years ago, it was idle, and the workover rig was just sitting there rusting. And so one of the things that I've always wanted to do was get that back up and going, and the opportunity's kind of presented itself through a partnership with the city of Watford City. We're getting that program back up and going. We'll be running our first class in September, so we're really excited about that. Still picking a date, but excited to be running that first class there in September. So great opportunity for people to come out and gain a great needed training in floor hand, being a floor hand on a drilling rig or a workover rig.
What kind of certification goes along with that? Because there's two avenues you can get into, the roustabout side of things and work up for a company and get trained in there, or you can go through this pathway, which there's a safety component. There's a certification side of that. Explain that for us.
Absolutely. So the program starts the first, really the first half of the first week is all safety certifications. So we're actually knocking out your PC, your one basin, one way, your H2S training, your medic first aid training. We're getting that all out of the way. So when you go through this program, you already have that training done, number one. So there's a great focus on safety there. And then as you move into the actual hands-on training on the workover rig, that is all about safety, right? We want what happens so many times when people get hired on as a workover rig or drilling floor hand is they see all these moving parts and it kind of scares them if they haven't seen it before. And so we're kind of taking a crawl, walk, run approach here where we introduce people to what they're going to see out there and very safely and very, very slowly get them ready to go to where when they show up on the job, they're ready and they can be safe out there.
Back in the old days, the word slinging chains used to be said quite a bit when it's talking about oil and gas work. And since then, you know, we've changed quite a bit from an automation side of things, from iPads to, you know, there's innovation at everywhere you turn, it seems like, to make it not only safer, but so you don't have to sling so many chains. What does the modern day oil worker look like from that standpoint? Like, what are you training on the floor hand and workover rigs? What type of jobs can parents expect for their kids, or if somebody middle-aged wants to reinvent their career? Because the one thing that's happening right now, folks, is there's a transition to the trades. Jumping into a trade, you are an early adapter. You're on the ground floor of the new economy, really, if you do something like that. And so talk about what some of these new positions even look like from a, you know, physical and mental and timing and that sort of thing, if you would mind.
Yeah, no, I think from the floor hand side of things, things have changed, but they still are. It is still a physical job. I mean, it's a job that requires the ability to lift 30 feet of pipe, right? And be able to work as a team to move stuff around. We do train them in a way that we still do it a little bit old school, so that because in the workover rig industry in particular, there's just such a variance between those companies that have adopted the little bit more automated approach versus the companies that are still doing it the old school way. And so we want to make sure that our students are able to do the more physical aspect of things. And so when they get onto site, no matter who hires them, they won't be surprised, right? And then if they're in an automated situation, then that's great. They get to take it a little easier. But we want them to know how hard it can be and put them through that physical piece. The goal is for them to find some new muscles within that first week for sure.
How long is your courses generally? If somebody wanted to do one of these courses, weeks on location, off location, that sort of thing?
Yeah, so the workover rig floor hand training is a 2-week program. As I said before, it starts off with getting you through your safety training that's going to be required to go into any oil field job, and then finishes up with about a week in 2 days of hands-on experience of actually tripping pipe in and out and moving it in and out of the well. We've got a 1,000-foot well out here at Train ND, and we can run that pipe in and out as many times as we can get it done in a week and 2 days. So
Kenley, you go through this 2-week program, and then what? You come out job ready. You work with a lot of different oil field businesses out there to connect that workforce with the jobs that are needed out in the oil patch. So walk us through that process. You go through the program. 2 weeks later, you're certified. You get your safety. You've been trained up on the workover rig. Then what? How do you guys work with the companies to connect employers with employees?
Yeah, so we've got a couple different routes. Number one, we have obviously been in conversation. I wouldn't have started this program back up if there wasn't a demand. And so we've actually got companies that are already committed to looking at our students, know that we're starting this program, and they're ready. They're desperate for these students at this point in time. Interestingly enough, this job actually just hit the high needs job list, the new high needs job list that was just released this month for the state of North Dakota. So it's back on that jobs list and qualifies for YO and Career Builders funding. But the other interesting route is, and Steve, both you and Jason have seen this when you've come out to visit Train ND Northwest, we've got the viewing deck up above, just right where we run this training. And that was really designed and was dedicated towards allowing companies to come in and watch our students work through the floor hand program. And it's like an NFL draft. They're sitting there watching them perform, and then they identify who they want to go after, and each company gets to fight over who they want. And it's really kind of a cool situation to watch us get these people trained up in 2 weeks and then have companies fight over them to be able to hire them.
You know, you talk about the lucrativity of a position like that, and people aren't really used to hearing somebody say having employers fight over you. But there's such a need in the oil patch right now. That's what it's come down to.
It has, and the pay shows that as well. So we talk about what this position pays, and while it is a physical, a very physical position, it also pays very well. So we have pooled most of the groups, and most of the groups are starting out a brand new person at anywhere from $28 to $29 an hour, with the ability to get to $40 an hour within 2 years. Plus, most of them are paying per diems, and most of them, or all of them, obviously pay overtime if you work over. And so There's some great opportunities to make money. Anecdotally, had a kid who works for one of the companies out here who was just bragging to his boss. He'd worked since he was 18, started on right after he graduated when he was 18. He's 20 today, or 20 now, and he just paid off his house that he bought. And so as a 20-year-old, has a completely paid off house, completely paid off vehicles, and is continuing to work and make great money. So from a career standpoint, great place to go to make money. And there's also places to work up. So a lot of companies want you, if you do well as a floor hand, want you to continue to improve and go. And a lot of companies have programs to pay for you to become a petroleum engineer or many other programs that exist that kind of branch off of this. So it's really a great start into the oil and gas industry.
A lot of opportunity out there. We're talking with Kenley Nebaker, Train ND Northwest, about their workover rig program and a great way to get spooled up into the industry. And, wow, 20 years old, house, vehicles, all paid off. Pretty impressive story. Your opportunity to do that right here in North Dakota. Also, Jason Spies from the Crude Life. You can catch Crude Life Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. right here on Super Talk 1270.
Super Talk 1270. Welcome back to Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270.
You're tuned to Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270. I'm Steve Bigel, along with Jason Spies from the Crude Life. Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. on Super Talk 1270. Also, Kenley Nebaker from Train ND Northwest up in Williston joining us on the program. You know, one of the other things that I wanted to talk about, too, because it was last time I was up there, I got a pretty cool tour of a rather unique room that Train ND has up in Williston. It's the well control room. And that is vitally important for a lot of different aspects in the oil field. And we can talk about directional drilling as well, but that's kind of a specialty niche. But it starts with having that well control and knowing and understanding how to operate a well control room. Tell us about that program a little bit, because that is fascinating to me.
Yeah, the well control program is so awesome. So that's another one that was shuttered when I came here, and was actually my first goal to get that back up and going. And we had a $3 million piece of equipment just sitting there doing nothing, which was such a shame to me. And so we were able to partner with Vorenkamp Well Control, Steve Vorenkamp and his team. They've just done a great job of creating a system for teaching well control that is second to none. And anyway, they are the only well control that I know of that teaches well control for directional, non-conventional wells as well. But they've really just done an amazing job, and we've got that program back up and going. And what's so important to understand about well control is blowouts are 100% preventable. That you don't have to have blowouts as a part of the danger within oil and gas industry. If you follow the principles that are taught in the well control program, then you are able to avoid blowouts. And so stopping that danger to life and limb, as well as stopping that danger to property with a little bit of training, just totally makes sense. And so we have that available at all times up here. And like I said, Vorenkamp Well Control just does such a great job.
You know, Kentley, you talk about blowouts being preventable and that sort of thing. And really what that boils down to is leadership and proper training and that type of thing. If you've got great leadership, well, they're going to make sure everybody's trained properly. And if you are trained properly, you're going to have situations where blowouts are preventable. And, you know, that's the oldest story in the book, right? I'm not sure if that's the right cliche or not, but we'll just go ahead and limp along with this. Where I'm trying to go with this horrible setup and transition and segue is, you're a person in leadership and you have a progressive mind, and you're a part of some meetings that we're not a part of. And so what I'm about to ask you is more opinion-based or could be experiential-based. Yesterday, state of Colorado changed their oil and gas commission to a energy and carbon commission. And when you take a look around, you see ag and energy almost becoming the same industry. You're starting to see the carbon market go into the energy sector as well. Are you seeing that in any way at your level on the training side of things? Are you starting to see the word carbon come in more through the training manuals or anything along those lines? I hope you're following me with the question, because like I said yesterday, you know, Colorado, they changed their oil and gas commission to energy and carbon. So I see the future is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I understand where you're heading with this. I don't think there's any question that down the road at some point in time, things are going to change on some level. I am not one that is, I don't want to use the word extreme, but I'll use it because I can't think of any better word, that is extreme enough to believe that oil and gas will go away 100%. I just don't see a world where that happens. What I do see, though, is a world where we start to transition a little bit and find other uses for oil and gas to and if we're smart, to marry technologies, bring the advantages of clean energy and the advantages that oil and gas bring and marry those together. That's the future that I see.
Well, from the manufacturing side, Kenley, that people don't understand how many products they use per day that is made from oil and gas. This is Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270. We're talking with Kenley Nebaker and Jason Spies from The Crude Life on Super Talk 1270.
KLXX AM, Mandan Bismarck, a Town Square Media station, broadcasting from the View Community Credit Union Studio. Now you can listen to Super Talk 1270 on Alexa.
Hiya.
Find out how at supertalk1270.com.
Goodbye.
Talk of the Town, brought to you by Big Boy. Just get in line, it moves fast. Dakota Pharmacy and Dakota Natural Health Center. We're here to help you stay well. Trademark Realty, Peak Automotive and Service, and Silver Ranch. Welcome back to Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270.
You're tuned to Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270 on a Waters Wednesday. I'm Steve Bike along with Jason Spies from The Crude Life. You can catch Crude Life Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. right here on Super Talk 1270. We're talking with Kenley Nebaker, Train ND Northwest, and talking about some of the different things that they've gotten, the evolution of the oil field. And Kenley, you were talking a little bit heading into the break, and we had a hard stop, but there's been an evolution within the industry, and dare I say a resurgence, because we went through the boom, things kind of waned, things changed, things meandered around a little bit, and things started coming back, and some of those jobs had changed, but some of those jobs had remained the same, but there's been an evolution within the industry. What are you seeing up in Williston?
Yeah, we see quite a bit of an evolution, I think. As things tighten up and as stress is put on the system, that causes innovation. So everybody thinks that stress on the system is a bad thing. I think it's actually a pretty good thing because it causes innovation. It causes us to look at things differently. And so one perfect example of that, I think, and how oil and gas is connected to anything else happening in energy in the future. Look at the example of Nesset Consulting. I think what they're doing, nobody screams oil and gas in represents oil and gas more than Kathy Nesset does in North Dakota. I mean, she's the queen of oil and gas, in my opinion. And yet she's seeing what I see Nesset doing from the outside looking in is starting to focus, see the opportunities in renewables as well. That doesn't mean they're giving up on oil and gas. My goodness, they're pushing even further on oil and gas. But they see those opportunities in wind and in other areas to try and create training opportunities for people and to move them into specific jobs.
Have you ever played volleyball, Kedley?
Yeah, once or twice.
You know what the person is called when they kind of just tap the ball above the net and then the person comes and spikes it? You know what that person's called?
That's the setter, isn't it?
Well, thank you very much for setting up that Kathy Nesset is the queen of oil and gas, because that must make me the king, because I was on the cover of Oil Man magazine that featured an article on Nesset Construction and their advancement into the new economy. So thank you very much. I had to spike that one down, but no, I kid, but I was on the cover of the Oil Man magazine that featured Nesset Construction as well. But in the article that featured me, what we were talking about was just the evolution of opportunities. And that's really what we're talking about here, is that, you know, BP and Exxon, they're getting into like LG and that type of stuff. And that's where you're starting to see some of the ag energy connection, even with the ethanol. You're starting to see Harold Hamm getting into ethanol now, so the ag and energy connection as well. And then it all loops back to how are we going to be better with our carbon. So that's how I'm seeing the evolution happen, Kentley, is that in the same way the newspaper had to become a different distribution vehicle, print didn't go away. It just shrunk. Oil and gas is not going to go away. The ocean is not going to stop seeping oil. That's how we find 80 to 90% of our oil in the ocean is from it just seeping from the ground. What, are we just going to let it keep seeping? You know, it's Jed Clampett oil in the ocean, right? So talk to me a little bit about the evolution of opportunities, whether it's from the mechanic side or from the drone side. I mean, we're talking about drones now being introduced. We haven't even talked about that yet, Kenley.
Yeah, no, I mean, there's so many opportunities. And I think that's one of the things I love about North Dakota, right, is it's so multifaceted with its opportunities. So you're interested in drones? Okay, well, North Dakota is leading the way in the nation with beyond visual line of sight opportunities for people and drone technology. You want to talk about opportunities in oil and gas? Okay, well, we've got the advent of the lateral well and all the cool stuff that's happening with different companies with biosurfactants and things that we're injecting back down to enhance oil recovery. That's going to need retraining and new opportunities for people. I mean, there's just so many as electric vehicles become more of a thing, and you know me, I'm pushing hybrids more than electric vehicles, but both of those are going to take a special type of mechanic that needs retrained beyond what our current diesel and gas mechanics can do. So, I mean, there's just so many opportunities. And the great thing that I love about North Dakota is North Dakota is involved in all of them.
So, Kenley, just for a couple seconds, just talk a little bit about the drone program, because that's one of those programs that's really taken off with TrainND. And that's going to be the perfect segue into some of the scholarship opportunities that are out there.
Absolutely. We're so excited about the drone program right now. The newest addition that we're doing is we just started spraying using our ag drone. We've just started physically spraying actual chemical in a partnership with North Dakota State and at the research center out here in Williston. I had the privilege of being out there for that first spray on some test plots. And you wouldn't think it's very hard, but spraying on 5-foot wide plots is actually pretty hard. You have to be very exact. But anyway, I really enjoyed watching that and seeing the potential and moving forward. We've done a lot of demos in the ag industry, including some demos for some EPA folks that were out here a couple weeks ago. And so anyway, we're seeing some great stuff in this drone space. And my newest excitement is in that ag spraying realm. And we'll have a program that we'll be unveiling that give people a pathway to be able to start their business spraying drones here pretty quickly.
Which is a great segue, because UAV and the drones are kind of the nexus of ag and energy. They serve so many purposes in both fields that's kind of where, for me, they come together.
Absolutely. It's the perfect marriage of that and bringing the advantages of autonomous remote application of materials or collection of data and making the farm and agriculture as a whole better as a result of it. Really exciting stuff. We were talking yesterday in a CTE meeting about some CTE curriculum and the marriage between the drone and automation world. And if we're talking about training automation techs, what a perfect marriage to move them into drone work, as drones are the perfect expression of automation, right?
Well, I got a question for you. I mean, Steve, you mentioned scholarships. I don't know if these scholarships have to do with floor hand training or the drones or the workover rig or just general TrainND, but I want to ask, because when I think of drones, I think of kids. And when I think of kids picking rocks and lemonade stands, I think of opportunities. And I know, you know, the 12-year-old and 15-year-old kids are probably not going to go out to TrainND and get certified, that sort of thing. But I look at, you know, the drones as one of the greatest entry-level jobs for the younger generation into new industries because they get it better than anybody. What are the scholarships? I mean, what is there an age you're going after? Is there an industry? Just talk to me a little bit about the scholarships involved.
So the scholarships that we have coming, we have scholarships that are coming available in CNA, in UAS, a large amount of scholarships in UAS, and then a few scholarships in Crane as well. The UAS sector, we're really pointing to any age group, and we really it's about moving people into our BVLOS course. So training people how to fly beyond visual line of sight, getting the workforce ready for as soon as the Vantis network is up and going for commercial use, that we'll have a workforce that can actually take advantage of that. And that's what we're really aiming at with those scholarships, which should be releasing sometime around the 26th or 27th of this month.
What type of workforce is going to be with this UAS right away, do you think?
Well, I mean, it's going to be an interesting thing because a lot of people think, okay, UAS, I need someone to fly the drone, right? And that's it. And yes, you do need someone to fly the drone, but there's so many other aspects of it. There's sensor operators. There's at this point in time, visual observers. There's electronic observers. There's multiple different pieces of that flight crew. And then on top of that, after the flight's done and the data's collected, you need data analytics. And so you need a group of people that can actually analyze that data. And that's the next step in our drone training is we're developing a data and analytics program.
What's the timeline on that as far as building up that workforce? Because TrainND, of course, is all about building workforce, meeting the needs in North Dakota. What's the timeline on getting that program off the ground? Pun intended.
The data and analytics program, I think we're shooting for a start of next year's or first quarter next year sometime. We received some funding from the state to get that done, hoping that we can stretch that to be enough funding. We'll be working to get that done and hopefully up and going first section of next year.
All right. I know that we got up against the break here, and Kenley, you've got a meeting at 10:30, but we'd be remiss if we didn't find out about the Sydney barbecue that you're involved in. It's a Bakken barbecue opportunity for people in the Sydney Williston area. So talk about that real quick.
Yeah. So the Western Region Economic Development Group is doing another free community barbecue coming up here in Sydney at the Veterans Memorial Park. That's on the 25th, from 11:30 Mountain to 1 o'clock Mountain, time. And so great opportunity to just come out and be a community there in Sydney and enjoy some free, burgers, brats or dogs and just enjoy, each other's company. I love these barbecues because we're going out there without any. There is no agenda. It's just share some food and enjoy some time together. So excited about that.
Always a good time bringing communities together and bringing the industries together as well. Kenley, if anybody wants any more information about TrainND Northwest, some of the different programs you've offered, some of the healthcare stuff is a huge need for workforce right now. How do people get more information?
Yeah, just reach out to us here at TrainND Northwest. We are accessible online. If you do a search for TrainND Northwest or come through the Wilson State College website, you can get to us. Just give us a call. Call my office number if you'd like. That's 701-343-3435. I'll talk you through any questions you have.
Kenley, always a good time, my friend.
Yep, thank you.
You guys have a great day. Kenley Neverger. Kenley Neverger up at TrainND Northwest. This is Talk of the Town on Super Talk 1270. More on a Wattage Wednesday when we come back on Super Talk 1270's Talk of the Town. 1270.